there are, on this next slide, some instruments on the asset side, again, that one might look at them and say, well, they have some sort of optionality embedded in them. Do they, in fact, have embedded derivatives that you have to bifurcate and account for separately with the change in their earnings? And for these particular securities, it seems a fairly safe bet that that's not the case. So I've got here a list of various securities that should be relatively clean under 133 and don't create any specific issues. And again, I think as you all know, there's not only just 133 applied to the asset side, it also applies to the liability side. So we've actually done the same thing on the liability side here. There's certain liabilities where bifurcation will be required. Variable life or equity index annuities where there are sort of guarantees embedded in them, minimum rate guarantees or principal guarantees, and then certain types of property casualty contracts where there are combined coverages. But traditional whole life, universal life, things that have sort of minimum rate guarantees in them, and in a sense also have sort of a put option because the holder can back out at fixed surrender charges. Those have been looked at by the FASB, and they made a decision that bifurcation is not required. One observation for equity index annuities, these are these annuities that basically have you know, some minimum like 3% rate or principal, and they have basically a call option on the S&P. Actually, under 133, that may help the accounting going forward, because sometimes some insurance companies have had trouble with the gap accounting behind those because there's sort of a timing mismatch. Currently, as they are putting their liabilities and changing their liabilities on their income statement for GAAP, and in many cases, they have a timing mismatch with how they're accounting for the derivatives currently. It should be, for some companies, a little bit cleaner going forward. Yes?
When you have bifurcation required, and the first item has a required, and then the not required, the second item doesn't, what's the difference that causes one and not the other?
The variable life, well, there are actually two different types of product. Variable life is, as we're thinking about it on the slide, is really the separate account product where what's going on in the separate account or in the kind of funds that's invested in really impact the value of that. That's under this first column, the first item, variable life. Under the second column, that second one down, that's actually a different product. That's an interest-sensitive annuity. So that's like an SPDA that's kind of in the general account where it's got an interest credited rate, but it's unrelated to how the portfolio is doing. So there's really two different products. So I mean, SPDA is FDs. Yes?
On the separate accounts, most of the separate account products are going to be market to earnings, and
I think we're referring to the minimum rate guarantee. That's the embedded derivative.
Yeah, but I mean, if the liability as a whole is mark to market through earnings,
true.
No,
actually, the minimum rate guarantee would be considered an embedded derivative, and that would have to be mark to market through earnings on your general account. It's kind of dynamics of the insurance company in general account versus separate account. Typically, you have your general account and your separate account assets. Separate account assets and liabilities, typically they're both marked to market and you kind of have this perfect offset, and you have your general account. How the DIG, the Derivatives Implementation Group, concluded about variable life or annuity with minimum rate guarantees is that, yes, you still have the separate account assets and liabilities offsetting each other, but that minimum rate guarantee, which is basically a guarantee that is kind of a general account guarantee, that would have to be marked to market through earnings. So it's an additional